Reading this morning from Canto 2, Chapter 3, Text 24. And this is a very famous, I guess you could say, famous, well-known verse, the steel-framed heart verse. Referred to many times in many places. It's the verse that's the operative verse of the chapter. Prabhupada has titled the chapter Pure Devotional Service, Change in Heart. And this phrase, change of heart, change in heart, appears 12, 13 times in the purport. Change of heart, change of heart. I've been really looking forward to, as the chapter builds, to speak on this verse because it's so important. The in a purport, I'll read the whole purport because it's so wonderful. In the purport, there's a little summary of chapter 1 of Canto 2, chapter 2 of Canto 2, chapter 3 of Canto 2, progressively leading one up to this, like crescendo. Essentially, there's many different types of worship, all of which lead to the process of direct hearing and chanting about the personality of Godhead, His name, His characteristics, His qualities, His pastimes. And consciousness being fixed upon the word that's used in the verse is dhyaya, hari nama dhyaya, with concentration of mind, like jnana, dharana, samadhi, dhyaya, really concentrating the mind upon the personality of Godhead, not upon other things, upon the personality of Godhead. It brings about a change of heart, or is meant to bring about a change of heart. And specifically, the change of heart, Prabhupada writes, is in the matter of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is our constitutional position. So we hear these phrases over and over, our constitutional position. Subordinate servant. The change of heart is where the disposition of trying to be the enjoyer in the Supreme Lord's place changes to being the subordinate servant of the Supreme Lord in all circumstances, at every moment. It's just a total shift. We use this expression in modern terms, paradigm shift. So it's like becoming what we really are instead of what we really aren't. And so the process, the leading up to this verse, all those things described are for that purpose. The verses immediately preceding, well, the chapter 3 begins with the conclusion that Maharaj Parikshit has asked the question, what's the duty, what's the subject matter that one should hear? The duty is devotional service. The subject that one should hear is the personality of Godhead. So the chapter begins, now I've answered your question. Devotion, unmixed devotional service, that's what one should do. And constantly hear about the personality of God, if that's what one should hear, so now I've answered your question. But he's in such an ecstatic mood that he keeps expanding on that message, pure devotional service. And then he like spills over the top and says, and if you don't, what are you doing? And he goes through, you know these verses, there's a little section in between where the sages, hearing this spoken by Sutta, said they must have spoken something more. Because this is Shukadev Goswami, and here is Shukadev Goswami's qualifications, and there's Maharaj Parikshit, and there's his qualifications, and these two hearers and chanters get together, and there must have been more topics. More topics. What were those more topics? We're very enthusiastic to hear. Then, by the rising and setting of the sun, that verse, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who's engaged in his hearing and chanting because of the personality of God. It's because each day, hearing and chanting, we're going closer to the personality of God, closer to our eternal life. But what is to be gained by one who doesn't do that? What you're gaining is just one day closer to death. Another day closer to death. Another day closer. There's nothing being transcendentally gained. And then the description of how the human form of life is like to underscore the importance of the message of pure devotional service. What's the use of a long duration of life if it's not used in devotional service? Do not the trees, who live much longer than human form, do not the trees also live? Well, yes, trees live, but they don't breathe. Then the bellows of the blacksmith, do they not breathe? Well, yes, the trees, the bellows of the blacksmith breathe, but they don't have the sense enjoyment of procreation. Do not animals and beasts eat and discharge semen? Men who are like hogs, dogs, can't, these verses are in chapter 3. Such persons praise men who never listen to the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So it's the mood is, there's feedback here. The mood is glorification of the process of devotional service. At the same time, it's what a waste of human energy if it's not being done. Who will not do this? So then, item by item, the senses, the hearing process, the ears, one who has not listened to the message about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead as the ear, and the tongue that has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, condemned. No better than the ear holes, like the holes of a snake, or the tongue, like the tongue of a frog. Not very complimentary. Big turban on a nice body. It's no better than the turban on the head of a drowning man. What's the good of a turban on a drowning man? If that person does not listen to the topics of the personality, then he can wear all the turbans he likes, but without without the hearing and chanting, like putting a turban on a drowning man. And those hands, so that may be decorated with gold and bangles, but if it's not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, it's like decorations of bangles on a dead body. Like, so if you are, can recall the verse of Maharaj Ambarish, where the verse that describes Maharaj Ambarish, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo, describes how he engaged each of his senses in service, although he was such an elevated king, so wealthy, so powerful, so influential, everything a worldly man might want, and he was disinterested in it all, but completely interested in the personality of Godhead, and engaged his legs in walking to the temple, engaged his hands in cleansing the temple, engaged his ears in hearing the message glorifying the personality of Godhead, engaged his eyes in seeing the form of the Lord. He engaged all his senses, sadhana, vaidhi, sadhana, bhakti. So that's what this is. Prabhupada explains it in the purport, but I want to embellish it with the actual verses. All the senses are to be engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead. If not, snakes and frogs and dead people and ghosts and useless. Don't be useless. Be engaged 100% in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. The eyes which do not look at the deity form of the Lord are like the eyes and the plumes of a peacock feather. And the legs which do not move to the holy places are like tree trunks. Useless, 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 useless. Then the previous verse is like dedication of body, mind, and words in the service of the Supreme. Then next is the soul. That person who has not at any time received the dust from the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. A lot of dead bodies in this verse, a series of verses. Decorations of a dead body. This is a dead body. That brings spiritual life is receiving the mercy, the dust of the feet of the pure devotee upon one's head. And experience the aroma of tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. In the purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this is a ghost. Or one who is ghostly haunted either. So, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti with the mood of dedication of the soul unto the service of the Supreme, having received the mercy of the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee and the fragrance of the tulsi offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, body, mind, words, complete dedication of the soul. Now, in this verse is the change of heart. What's the culmination of all of that? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, or before Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, all the other forms of worship, which we're going to hear about in just a moment from the purport, or forming a conception of God. What's the use of all of this if it doesn't bring about the real desired thing? There's sadhya that comes from sadhana. Sadhya, or the goal. sadhana bhakti is meant to bring about the goal, sadhana bhakti. And this change of heart is the goal. Our disposition towards the personality of Godhead. With this phrasing, the internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness, or the internal transformation of consciousness. So, the text 24 reads, certainly that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy names of the Lord with concentration, dhyaya, harinama dhyaya, chanting the holy name with concentration, if one's heart does not change, when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end. So we just moved from Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti to Bhava Bhakti real fast. At least we were supposed to. Or at least, you know, some transformation of heart in the internal disposition towards the mood of serving the Supreme in a humble state of mind, finding all of our happiness in that place, not in the external allures of sense gratification. So, the first part of the purport is a summary of chapters 1 and 2, leading us to this change of heart verse. Purport, we should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional services being presented in the first chapter. The first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed. And a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in its universal form for the beginner. So, there's three things, actually. Detachment. Engage in the hearing and chanting process. Form a conception of God in terms of the gross cosmic manifestation. At least start there. Start somewhere. Start with what you can perceive and tangibly recognize. Form a conception of God. There are places in the world today that they don't have a conception of God. So, by such a gross conception of God, through the material manifestations of His energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses, and gradually, go to chapter 2, concentrate the mind upon Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Supersoul, in every heart and everywhere, in every atom of the material universe. Then, this sentence is very interesting. The system of Pancha Upasana, recommending 5 mental attitudes for the common man, is also enacted for this purpose, namely gradual development. Worship of the superior, that may be in the form of fire, electricity, sun, massive living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last the impersonal supersoul, the partial representation of Vishnu. They are nicely described in the second chapter. Now the Pancha Upasana process is not explicitly described in the second chapter. The process of meditation upon Supersoul is described. So, Prabhupada is adding, there are other places within the Vedic model of gradual development, that for the purpose of gradual development, these other types of worship, progressively of the elements, leading to the super soul is described. So when we come to know, or somebody comes to know of those other things, it should be understood it's part of a gradual development from material to spiritual contemplation upon the, it's interesting he's using impersonal super soul. Meaning Vishnu is not different than Krishna, but without exhibiting all the features of personality. The feature that super soul exhibits is observing and permitting anumanta. Upadrashta, overseeing and permitting. But the features of personal activity and loving exchanges of all the varieties found in the personality Godhead Krishna are not yet exhibited, and therefore this term impersonal super soul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. So all of this, the gradual, from forming a conception of the Supreme from the material elements, begin processes of worship of those elements leading to super soul. Chapter 1, Chapter 2 of Canto 2. But in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually worshipped the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. That was the conclusion of Chapter 2. Now Chapter 3. The mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. That's the first paragraph. Summaries of Chapter 1, 2, and now Chapter 3. So, again, this is the operative verse of the whole chapter. And all three chapters. To get to this stage, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being. All those progressive, that's where its aim is, that's where it's headed, that's the goal. Sadhya. What kind of change of heart? Change of heart in the manner of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. So fundamental. That these phrases that we hear, let's say it again, we hear certain phrases again and again that we just kind of don't pay attention to them because we hear them so often, but it should be the other way around. You hear them so often, they're very important. What's the message? What's the meaning? What's the spirit? There's this change of heart is the spirit. We're heading the other direction in material life, away from who we really are, thinking the thing that we're not is who we really are. We're very invested in illusion. The change of heart is drop the illusion. Take the reality. And so we find these two. Detachment from sense gratification and false ego and all the moods of trying to dominate and conquer and all that stuff. Controlling. Enjoying. Drop it. Detachment. It's throughout these chapters, again and again, like thematic, very strong. Why? Not just asceticism, but attachment to the Supreme. Well, supposing you don't have a conception of the Supreme, then it's impersonalism. So, it's meant to bring the change of heart to personalism. Shelter in the personality of Godhead. Our constitutional position is a very small, tiny, insignificant. That's what we really are. Small, tiny, insignificant. Humble but real conception of who we are, servant of Krishna. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Those two things. Those, like, you know, symptoms. How can you tell when someone is advanced? Detachment and attachment to Krishna in a mood of service. Constantly, constantly detached, constantly, constantly attached in this proper mood. That's the change of heart. That's the maturing stage. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body. Parentheses. Namely, the eyes, ears, nose, hands, legs, as already explained herein before. So, in case you don't know what it means, it's using the senses under regulation that we, all we do are rules and regulations. We rise early and take bath and come before the deity and perform mangalarti, and, you know, we're using our senses in a regulated manner for elevation and purification. With the eyes, seeing the form of the Lord, with the hands, cleansing the temple of the Lord, so forth. Using the legs to walk to the temple. Using the ears to hear. Using the tongue to speak the message of the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Is that it? Well, it's leading us to what's it. It's part of what's it. It's the not yet mature stage of change of heart. A change of heart is it. So the regulation of the senses is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. This Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that the senses, what this, how it works is, senses pick up signals, and the signals go to the mind. And then the mind can also become spiritualized by the activities of the senses. So the mind can receive, the mind can also direct the senses. My dear ears, don't go over there. Go over here. My dear eyes. Not over there. Over here. So giving direction, but also receiving signals. Spiritualized. So it there's this act of submission to the scripture, the higher authority of, because we're not there, we're just accepting with faith the authority of the scripture and the authority of the spirit, those who are living the life of the scripture, the spiritual teachers. We're submitting, and by that submission we follow the vidhis. We get sense impressions into the mind, and gradually the mind can start to change. That's what's being described here. Mind is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. Change of heart, change of heart, change of heart, mentioned again and again. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed. So, I guess we all came from the same factory or something. The heart's not changing. feel framed. Feel framed. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. So it's just fast-tracked all of a sudden from biting sadhana bhakti into change of heart. So the heart's not changing. That ecstasy, the transformations from the mind, and that's how it happens, by the way, when the mind is pure, without practice, the senses perform these transformations. Tears from the eyes, standing of hairs in the body, body trembling. Those are external manifestations of the state of mind. So this dhyaya, Harinama dhyaya, the mind has to be concentrated on the personality of Godhead, not just the impersonal supersoul. The personality of Godhead, by hearing His name, by hearing His qualities and activities. The way that we lead our life must be in goodness, must be purified, so that when we're hearing and chanting directly, this transformation, this change, will take place. So, next paragraph. If the reaction does not take place, even after continuous hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, it may be considered to be due to offenses only. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha. In the beginning of chanting of the holy name of the Lord, if the devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on the end, because the mind has not been sufficiently cleansed, cheta dharpana marginam, because attention has been elsewhere. One has been inattentive when doing that which is like somebody cleaning a surface of the table surface, or scrubbing the pot, and they're having a conversation. They're really not even paying attention to what they're doing. System, that their mind is all over the place, and is the pot going to get clean? No. Something, but not clean. The next paragraph. Next two paragraphs. Next paragraph is Nectar of Devotion, which is a summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada doesn't detail it at all, but just says these symptoms of the purified mind in the state of bhava are described. Then the next paragraph is imitators. The Prakrita Sahajya imitators that don't have pure state of mind and don't have purified senses, but imitate the symptoms. Bad. There's a paragraph. Bad. We don't like that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accuses the imitators of being stone-hearted men. They are sometimes even affected by the reflection of such transcendental symptoms. Yet, if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. That's that paragraph. And he doesn't dwell on it, but he certainly mentions it, and consistently mentions, this is not to be imitated. This is the real thing, where Vaidhi Sananda Bhakti is taken up with the right kind of attentiveness, so that the mind becomes cleansed, the heart becomes changed, and with that changed condition of heart, the symptoms of the changed heart manifest spontaneously. Two more paragraphs. Here's a list of symptoms of real bhava. Prabhupada writes, when Lord Chaitanya met Srila Ramananda Roy of Kavore on the banks of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms, but because of the presence of some non-devotee brahmanas who were attendants of the Roy, the Lord suppressed these symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible, even in the body of a first-class devotee, for certain circumstantial reasons. Therefore, real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of, now give spiritual qualifications aside from hair standing on end and tears coming from the eyes and trembling of the body. The internal qualification includes, one, cessation of material desires, shanti. Two, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. And the Sanskrit here is avyartha kalatvam. Avyartha kalatvam. Three, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly. Nama gane sadaruchi. Nama gane sadaruchi. Four, attraction for living in the land of the Lord. Pratis tad vasatis tale. Number five, complete detachment from material happiness. Virakti. And six, pridelessness. Mana shunyata. Mana shunyata. In other words, Lord Chaitanya exhibited these six even in circumstances where he didn't exhibit the other external transformation of the senses. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitator or the mundane devotee. So it's not that what we want is hair standing on end and tears coming from the eyes. What we want is a pure heart, a pure mind, concentrated fully upon the personality of Godhead. That's our relationship with Krishna, fixed in our relationship with Krishna, serving Krishna in that mood at all times. That's what's wanted. And nice set of characteristics, cessation of material desires, shanti, utilization of every moment in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, avyartha kalatvam, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, namagani sada ruchi, attraction for living in the land of the Lord, complete detachment from material happiness and pridelessness. This is what we want. That's the sadhya. final paragraph. The whole process can be summarized as follows, : the advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone. Interesting that that's added to the chanting of the holy name, is then the proper regard or relation with all others, acting in a friendly manner towards all other living beings, everyone, can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord. And the result of such realization is reflected in the cessation of all material desires, etc., as mentioned above. So what we're hearing is, do we go after these qualities, or do we go after the hearing and serving others in a humble mood, appreciating those qualities and aspiring for those qualities is certainly something we want to do. We won't get there, or the means to get there is absorption and chanting and a humble service mood in regard to all living beings. That's how we'll get there. This cessation of all material desires. What a relief, huh? And pridelessness, eagerness to glorify the Lord constantly. So these wonderful qualifications, they flow out of the hearing and chanting process and humble service mood. The neophytes, due to their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious. So much so that they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations. That's now he's, the extreme is the Prakrit Sahajiyas, but less extreme are people that just, you know, make up religions and do that. And it goes on. It goes on all the time. I mean, all the time. The Protestant Reformation, and, you know, the whole way, whatever the Catholic Church is today, from the Christian perspective. And, you know, India's abundant with, you know, the Arya Samaj and different things. Just completely stemming from a neophyte condition where one is actually envious of the personality of God and doesn't want to surrender to him. I want my constitutional position. I want to do things my own way in the name of something elevated. Therefore, the show of tears in the eyes, trembling, perspiration, or unconsciousness, etc., is condemned. They can, however, get in touch with a pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march on the return path home back to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. Unequivocal. So, and that's from the previous verse. One who has not received the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee upon one's head is a dead body, although breathing. Meaning real life, the life of transcendental existence, is not there. Nice verse. Powerful. So should we chant the holy name? Yes. Should we be very cautious to, using the language here, evade the 10 offenses? Definitely. And to be successful, do we need the right mood of loving service, or aspiring for that mood of loving service to the name, to Krishna? Definitely. How are we going to get that? Through the mercy of those who have it. That's the system. And this point has been repeated again and again throughout. It's like this, the receiving the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee upon one's head. Prabhupada writes, previous purport, the stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service is, therefore, to be the servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, quote, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has served another pure devotee, unquote. That is the way of the cyclic succession. Very straightforward. Very logical, very sensible, and the stubborn mind doesn't want to go there. We want to kind of go there, but not really go there. And so, steel framed. But there's hope. And the hope is that the personality of God is very merciful, and those representing Him are very merciful, and they continue to be merciful. Even, you know, we're out to lunch. And not present when we're receiving those gifts that they're giving, and they keep giving those gifts, and gradually, the steel-framed heart changes. Gradual process of devotional service. Any discussion on this wonderful verse from Bhagavatam? Yeah?
Okay. In my effort to go internal with the do things, for the purpose behind doing things, I'm observing that for the change of heart to happen, I need to have strong focus and maintain the focus. But in my in the stage where I am, I'm finding it difficult to maintain the focus. I get it, but after some time I lose the focus. The question is,
practice and detachment. Krishna's message of Bhagavad Gita. Maintaining focus. How to maintain focus? Constant practice and detachment. The verses of the Bhagavatam are giving us, you know, put it nicely, it's giving us impetus for detachment. Putting it a little more bluntly, we're being pushed. Detachment from non-focused life, because the consequences are not what you want. Of course, we know they're not what we want, but we just mindlessly keep being unfocused. But so there's regularly hearing, it's like little drops of water wear away the stone. Stone-hearted or steel-framed. So by the practice, by the cultivation of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, gradually focus will come. What's the opposite of focus? Our attention is upon worldliness or selfishness. So my own self-importance, or I want to enjoy something else for, you know, need a little break. We're habituated to other things, and that loses our focus. Continue to practice. It's the positive and the negative. You keep practicing focus, and you cultivate detachment from the other in strong association. As the verse previous to this one, the change of heart verse where dhyaya, what you're saying, focus, concentration of the mind upon the holy name, it's preceded by receiving mercy. How can a dead body accomplish focus? One who has not received mercy is like a dead body. So the constant practice of detachment, empowered by mercy. Otherwise we'll find ourselves in this, in the illusion of trying to do it, as in, you know, a false sense of doership. Effort definitely must be there, but it's not to diminish the importance of effort. But when we make very sincere effort, we recognize it's not sufficient. So the focus, constantly practicing on it, focus, and Krishna. Calling out in dependent mood. There's another way to answer your question is right in the purport itself, that the means of strive to chant offenselessly and always be, in a simple language, is be friendly to everyone. Be in a mood of humble service to everyone. That's a challenge. Some persons we really don't want to serve. Some persons we really don't want to be around. But at least the disposition should be in a mood, some mood of service. Try to cultivate like that. That will help in the focus department. From the service department. Humble service department. It's like, you know, it's the antidote for enjoyment. And it's a much higher enjoyment, much more satisfying, thrilling enjoyment to be serving others rather than enjoying the company of others, to be in the mood of serving others. You said you had two questions. That was one of them?
Yes, ma'am. While focusing on change of heart and understanding that it's important for me not to react to situations but to pause and considered to be the mood of service. But most of the time, again, my initial state is not finding that circumstance and situation doesn't stop for me to do all the considerations. That's how I get drawn into the situation.
That's the same question, just stated differently. That's there's the this side and there's the that side, but it's the same question. You're just stretching. Okay. Yeah.
Many times feel that I don't have kind of, I don't do it with an emotion, or like a real, so from the heart, but rather do it mechanically. But I'm not sure that this gradually will lead to getting into the emotion aspect.
Well, it's not just, you know, we want the emotion aspect, but we want to be in our relationship with Krishna. Now, a behavior in itself does not constitute a relationship. You know, think of some situation where, I don't know, I see this all the time. You know, people are walking together down the street, and one person's on the cell phone, the other person's on the cell phone. You know, they're not with each other, although they're with each other. Their minds are completely in some other place. Yes? So, Prabhupada gives the example. I've said this many times. Proximity doesn't mean association. It's just like the bug. The bug is on the same seat as I am. Does that mean there's an intimate relation? The bug's business is biting. That's not intimacy. So, just being, you know, in an activity or, you know, in the assembly of devotees does not mean necessarily that there's this mood of service. So the feeling part of bhakti flows from wanting to serve, the mood of service. And then there's varieties of feelings in that mood of service. So, it takes the same behavior, whatever the behaviors that you're referring to that make up your life, and do those in the mood of service. Just focus on using a ruling term, focus. Focus on that. Cultivate mood of service, humble service. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's your daughter, you're at work, or you're in kirtan, or you're just in the mood of service. All features of life, you're doing your worship in the mood of service, and just cultivate that mood of service. Because that's our constitutional position. You can't go wrong. It's in the mood of service. It's not imaginative. It's who we are. And there's feelings that flow from that. Same activity. In the mood of service. Varieties of activities. Because there's varieties of relationships and varieties of service. When you're with your wife, it's not the same as with your boss. With your boss, it's not the same as with your daughter. And with your daughter, it's not the same as with your friends. You have varieties of relationships. But in all of them, it's service. Different innuendos of that mood of service. Varieties of the mood of service, but mood of service, the underlying core. And that's who we are. That's that self-realization. Detachment from the body, detachment from the mind will result. And then real feelings will be that will be your experience. What's it like to be the eternal servant of Krishna? And, you know, so then seeing your boss and seeing your wife and seeing your friends and seeing your daughter and seeing your deities, seeing everything in your life in relation to Krishna. It's just a change of the modes of nature. The reason the modes of nature change is because of acceptance of a higher authority. Ultimately, that higher authority unknowingly is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But acceptance of a higher authority makes a shift from I'm independent to I'm dependent. I'm recognizing my dependence upon some higher authority. Although even when someone takes up the Pancha Upasana process, it may very well be, my ambition is, I want to merge. I want to become one with the Supreme. And then, in that case, the progress is stunted. Because, you know, it's the same problem, just in another package. And in that case, then, elevation in the modes of nature, but not transformation of heart. So, where there is actual submission, then there's change of heart. To practice tapa, yes.
So, these verses, can we meditate on these verses in relation to God?
Sure. Tapa in the form of regret is how much I wasted my life doing useless things. Not the useful things. Caution. That regret should be impetus to move to the proper thing. That's, you know, the impetus is, you're like, you know, release the whatever they call that, you know, like a rocket, and it just dislodges the previous, you know, the fuel that's been expanded or been exhausted. Then, you know, cut it off. Just leave behind that former waste of time, misuse of time program, jettison off into the proper use of time program, proper use of my senses, proper use of mind. Proper use of the eyes, proper use of the ears. and then in the proper disposition of the mind. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.